The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Ugh, yours sounds way better. I've had mine poured for like a half hour, so the ice isn't like brand new.
Yeah, I do my ice to the brim.
I did too, but I think when I drank, it started melting. Like, it looks like I haven't drank anything.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I have. Cheers.
Cheers.
Big day, people.
Happy Monday.
Happy freaking Monday.
I didn't know I could feel like that.
Delish.
God, it's so good.
I got a matcha. What do you got?
I have that iced coffee. I think the brand's called Stoke. S-T-O-K. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Really good. I bought it like kind of on a whim because I needed something in the fridge for coffee, and it's my new go-to.
It's like the slightly sweet one.
Well, it's called Only a Little Sweet, I think.
Only a Little Sweet, that's cute.
Or Not Really Sweet, something with sweet. Yeah. I like how they call it though, because it's like the perfect mixture of like a deep brew and then sweetness. Oh, I love it.
I miss coffee, man. Every time I look at yours. Sip? Yeah, maybe. Do you want a sip of my matcha?
Get in there. Probably no, not. I'm good.
Yeah, matcha and then coffee. Well, that's what I'm doing right now, but. Oh, God, it's delicious.
It's so good.
And, like, I could do decaf, but then I'm like, this is just a waste of, I don't know, substance.
Yeah, like, why at that point?
Yeah, at that point, I'm like, I should just probably be drinking water.
Yeah.
But, like, for my caffeine fix, matcha is more than enough. Even the other day, I didn't finish my matcha because I was like.
I feel like, especially since you haven't drank coffee in a while, mm-hmm. your, like, threshold for caffeine has gone way down.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas I don't feel anything after this coffee.
It just like puts you to like normal. Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It regulates me.
Yeah. But I like kind of miss that. Like in a weird way, I miss my like dependency on it.
Which is so crazy because we used to be the opposite.
I know.
I didn't drink coffee until we moved to Auckland.
Yep. And then I stopped drinking it. Honestly, in like within the past year, I've gone in and out of drinking it. This is, I think, my longest spurt that I haven't had it. It's been maybe like 3 months. I know this is common, but like it just, my anxiety started getting so bad.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And like, if you know, you know, if you're ever struggling with any type of anxiety, like the first thing you got to cut out is any type of stimulant. Even like when I was like really down bad a few weeks ago, I wasn't even able to take my Allegra.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Is there caffeine in there?
I don't think it's caffeine, but I think allergy medicine, they have some type of like stimulant to get you out of that, you know, like the allergy fog.
Yeah.
Think of like the Claritin commercial.
Yeah.
The, like, everything clears fog. Up. She's like, ah. That, so real.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I know there's like something in it that helps with that. I don't think it's caffeine.
That's crazy.
I haven't taken an Excedrin in a long time because those actually get you geeked.
Yeah. Excedrins, but they really help my hangover.
They help so much. Those, like, I feel like you have your thing down when you wake up.
The second I wake up.
You just take it before it even hits.
Two Allegra and a cold shower and I'm good for the day.
Excedrin, you said Allegra.
Yeah.
Imagine.
<You're> crazy.
Start floating in the cheese. Fuck, that's good. No, it helps a lot.
Yeah, two Excedrin and a cold shower will really get your hangover right.
Have you ever taken a Mucinex?
No, I'm not much of a snotty person.
I think it might be that same stimulant to get you out of like congestion.
Yeah.
Those get me geeked.
Really?
Yes, and they always have. Can I admit something?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is bad.
No, say it.
Whatever. I was a child. That's actually makes this even worse. In like eighth grade.
Oh no.
My friend and I will not say her name for legal purposes.
I think I know who it is already.
100% you do. I said eighth grade, you already know. We went into like a Rite Aid or something and we stole Mucinex. We took like a double dose of it and
I'm
fucked up.
Like, you probably thought that was the same as like when people would drink like lean and cough syrup. I mean,
100%. And like,
it probably had similar effects.
It definitely not as like bad as lean, but like it definitely was up there for me. Like it made me feel something.
That's crazy.
I feel that was Sudafed too.
You steal it from the Kmart?
No. Oh my God. We used to run that though. It was Lucky's. Downtown Pleasant Hill. It wasn't Rite Aid.
Okay.
Lucky's behind Crescent Boulevard.
Yep.
Represent.
It's not there anymore. It's like a big, like,
I think it's like a Dick's Sporting. No, that's over.
It's a big like a home improvement store, like plants and stuff.
Something like that. And then I know TJ Maxx or Home Goods or whatever is still to the right of it. Or no, it's Ulta. It's Ulta, Ulta now.
Yeah.
God, it's so different.
Ugh. Speaking of things that alter you, I ate some of those chocolate covered berries last night. I did like a little mix. Yeah, okay. I did like a little mix of them. And I think the sugar gave me crazy dreams.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Okay.
I had really fucking weird dreams too.
And I woke up, I don't remember what the dream was, so don't ask. I know. But you know, I've been telling you, I've been having like really creepy dreams.
Yeah.
I woke up and immediately I felt like icky. Like it was a really bad, scary dream. And I know if I would have remembered it, it would have been really bad.
Your brain protected you for a reason.
100%. And I remember I woke up at like 4 a.m. I was up for a little bit, probably like 30 minutes. And I remember thinking like, why, what's giving me these dreams? And I had hella sugar that night.
Yeah.
And that's what did it.
Sugar or chocolate, I think.
Maybe.
Like something, chocolate is like technically a stimulant too. So maybe like doing that before bed. I don't know.
I don't know if I'm playing with fire, but I almost want to try it again tonight to like verify it. But my dreams, you guys, I don't know. Can I say this?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been having dreams. I don't know. I don't want to say, like, I barely told Kristen because it's really creeping me out. But I've been having dreams where I'm the devil. And I, like, there's some dreams where I know I'm the devil. And I'm like, no, it's not me. Like, I'm trying to convince other people that I'm not right.
I'm different
now. I'm not. Literally Satan and
my everyday life.
But then some dreams, they're like, I find out that I'm the devil like halfway through. It's just really weird.
Just stuff with the devil.
Yeah.
It's a common thread and valid. That's an icky feeling.
So weird.
I know you said you don't remember last night, but can you give anything? Like,
I remember there was something, and I have these dreams a lot too with a home invasion.
Okay.
I think I was pregnant, which happens a lot too.
Me too. I hate those dreams too.
And I remember someone like finding me and grabbing me.
Like saving you or no, taking you?
It wasn't good.
Okay.
It wasn't good.
Jesus. Anybody you remember in the dream?
No. But I remember there were a lot of people in the dream.
Okay.
I don't know. It's been real weird.
Were you in a house?
I was in some sort of structure. I don't know if it was like a single family home.
Anywhere around the million range, the valley.
I want to say like some kind of warehouse. I don't know, but that happens a lot too.
Warehouse dreams. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's just like the back rooms vibes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And another thing I try not to do is try and remember the dream so much because I know for a fact I end up pulling from old dreams.
Yeah,
and like true. Trying to make it make sense.
Yeah,
but I don't want to like
throughout
force
the day,
a false
right. It might pop up because I'll have dreams that I completely don't remember the second I wake up.
Yeah,
but then like you'll say something later in the day and I'm like, wait, I dreamt that last night.
Yeah,
so
maybe it'll come to
TBD
me.
It might come up. My dream, I'm kind of forgetting the storyline, but I was in a house. It had like a downstairs. That's irrelevant. I'm just mapping it out in my head. And I was, I want to say you were there. I think there was like some other guy there. I forget who the guy was though, to be completely honest. And I think my parents were there and there were so many ghosts in the house. There were so That's many terrifying. Spirits and nobody was believing me. And I've had a similar dream to this and I want to say it was the same house. So I'm like, I got to like lean into like what this house is or something.
Yeah.
But I remember like sitting on the couch and I was just like, I don't know who the guy was. I was like leaning on his shoulder. Like it seemed like a boyfriend or something.
Yeah.
And I think we were just like relaxing. Everybody was sitting around just like visiting and I feel like a rubbing on my arm.
Ew.
So I looked at him and I was like, just kind of like,
bae.
Oh, yeah, like, oh, I love you. But he was like this. He had both of his hands on his lap.
No.
So I look and obviously there's nothing. And I like feel it again. And I'm like, guys, there's something that keeps touching my arm. It just keeps touching my arm. And everybody's like, chill, Kristen. And then it like started like, but like endearingly. But
like caressing
creepy.
You.
But yeah, but like not like sexually, just like, like petting my head, like combing me down, I guess, in a way. Like
weird.
Just touching me. And I kept trying to tell everybody, like, this is how, you know, I'm obviously really uncomfortable right now. And nobody believed me. So I started speaking in my head to the entity, like, oh, I know you're here. Like, respectfully, we are in your space. Clearly, I think it was like an Airbnb vibe now that I think about it, because it was a temporary space.
Okay.
I remember telling them, like, we will be gone soon.
Right.
So I was trying to telepathically tell them, like, we mean no harm, but just please leave me alone. So, like, they, I could still feel it. They stopped, like, touching me and they left. And then there were just several parts throughout the dream where, like, I was in the shower and they turned off the water. And they were just like kind of messing with me.
Yeah.
But I was getting so scared. And then I started remembering, my subconscious pulled this from the Sam and Colby series of like, they want to fuck with you. Remember like the trickster energy and, yeah. and the basement of their thing? Again, it, like, if you guys have not seen the Sam and Colby series, you have to go watch
it. So good.
Anyway, yeah, it like feeds into your energy. I started trying to remember that, but I was so scared that like that was out the window. I was like, running from them, closing doors. They would open it back up. Like,
that's terrible. It sounds like a fun house, but like not
like
fun.
The word like unfun house.
Yeah,
it was so scary. Again, it's one of those things where when you say a dream out loud, it doesn't hit nearly as hard. But
yeah,
like,
you really got to be in it.
You had to be there.
You had to be there.
It was fucking terrifying though.
Kristen and I had both seen this TikTok of this woman who tries to help people have like a more healthy relationship with alcohol. And she says this phrase that she says while she's drinking, it'll stop her from continuing to drink, which is all like the death of us.
Yeah.
And she says, this next drink will kill my buzz, because that's always, at least for me, every time I go out and I drink and I get that good buzz, I feel like I need another drink to maintain the buzz.
Yeah.
But that's like not how science works. No. Or your alcohol
content is like sustained.
Yeah.
Write it.
And
for a
I
sec.
Just don't know that. So Kristen and I, we are both planning on going out and testing this.
Yes. And we want to do like kind of like a little episode. Like, you guys remember the episode we did whenever we didn't talk for a week? The episode nobody asked for, but we just did. It was the hardest week of my life. We want to do another kind of experiment like that. So we'll test it for you guys and we'll come back. It's a common thing we talk about, kind of our relationship with alcohol and
wanting to like go out, not just to get hammered, yeah. but to have a fun night on two or three drinks tops.
And just call it a night and like wake up the next morning not fully dumped. Yeah. So I swear I'm still recovering from my birthday. Like,
That took a toll on you.
Changed me.
Yeah.
Like,
I've never seen you that hungover.
I remember when we were getting the IV. I was like, if I don't feel better after this IV, I want to go to urgent care. Like, I don't know what I'm going to tell them.
They would just give you more IVs.
I know, right? They would just be like, you need to take a nap. But yeah, it was so brutal. So yeah, we kind of want to play around with that. And I guess science project coming soon.
Yeah.
Okay, before we get into today's topic, we do want to say hello to any new listeners that might be out there.
Welcome. Oh, this is Advice.
Oh, yeah. Hello. This is Advice. I'm Kristen.
I'm Alex.
And if you follow us, you know we just officially announced our partnership.
Collab.
No, because collab sounds temporary. Sounds
temporary.
We are officially signed to the Dear Media Network. And it's literally like such a dream come true, you guys. This whole relationship has been so organic, which like
totally it came at a time where we didn't really expect. We've been doing this for the past 4 years
completely independent,
and they actually found us through you guys.
Yes.
So it
through Spotify Wrapped.
Yep.
You know, when you guys were tagging us, like, which was like the best time of the year. That was so cool to see. But when you guys were tagging us with all your other favorite podcasts, a lot of those podcasts were within the Dear Media Network. So
they looked into us. They love us. We love them. And it just feels like a perfect match.
It's crazy.
I love it.
It's surreal. It's like, I feel like this is every acceptance speech ever. But like we started this in 2020 with like no intention to like
zero expectations.
Oh, we need to blow up. This is going to be our like life. Like we were just, I mean, it was 2020. We were all bored and at home and
we just wanted to talk.
Let's just press record and talk and like, yeah, just connect with people since we can't see people in person at that time. And I mean, that was 4 years ago and it's become a backbone to our lives, 100%. To our real lives. Like, as much as, yes, this is a job, this is a lifeline.
On every level, like, it's our therapy. It's how you and I communicate.
Yeah.
On the day-to-day.
A lot of our time, yeah.
And it's like, it's helped our friendship immensely. There's just so many layers to like what this podcast has done. It's built such a beautiful community with us and our listeners too. Yeah.
Some of the stories we get, even like through Patreon, people being like, you guys helped me get out of a 10-year toxic relationship. I'm like,
if we did that God. For that one person, like that's
I'm good.
Yeah.
Like press end. Like, it's so rewarding and it's so.
And we're so grateful for you guys and your ongoing support always. Yeah.
We had so much love on the day we announced it, even from like our peers and our personal life. And like, I don't know, we're feeling it big time. So thank you times a million. And
feels very validating.
Hi, dear media.
Thank you.
Anyway, okay. Today's topic. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
I wore my shirt.
And I wore. That's so funny because I wore my lobster socks.
And I wore a shirt that says dump him.
The us.
Yes, us. So you guys are going to get, as always, two perspectives on a very common topic that I feel like all types of lovers go through, which is the honeymoon phase. But we're going to kind of talk about
coming out of it
and sustaining it and what that feels like, what that could look like, when to stay, when to leave, and just pushing through it. So if you are new, I guess maybe we should say I'm single.
Oh yeah. And I'm in a relationship and this is important because it is the backbone of why we're talking about this episode. Right. I have been in a relationship for 10 months now. That's crazy.
It is crazy.
So I am fully out of what one would call the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this episode because you and I haven't really talked about it beforehand. Mm-mm. And like, I'm excited. Like, have you been brewing in the back?
Absolutely. I've been like reliving all relationships I've ever been in. You want to know something crazy though?
Always.
Today, the day we're recording this, so not the day that this is out, is actually what would have been the 1 year of me and Tanner. I woke up and like, just like looked at the date as you do.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh.
Uh-oh. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Should you text him? Yeah.
Should you email him?
Yeah. Don't get me started. Did we tell?
Yeah.
I think we might have only said it on Patreon, actually.
Oh, you're right.
I'm just going to say one thing and one thing only. On my birthday, so Tanner's obviously blocked on like everything. He fucking emailed me and said, happy birthday, Kristen Harmony. Bye.
Don't email me from a work email that you don't even.
He doesn't even work there anymore.
You don't even work there anymore.
Like, get a personal email. The bare minimum of adulthood.
Yeah.
Don't get me started. This is why I wore my dump him shirt. It's my all-encompassing anger.
Ugh.
Anyway.
This is good, though, because I feel like you guys had your honeymoon phase for
3 years.
For the length of the time that you guys actually weren't in a relationship.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting. I, in doing a little bit of, like, research for this episode, I was coming across a whole bunch of it. Now it is now on my TikTok feed.
Oh, of course.
And a few people have said like that's the benefit of becoming friends with someone before getting into relationship, because that honeymoon phase is kind of broken up in such a weird way. And then coming out of the honeymoon phase is obviously when you start to learn like all the nuances of this person and the things you might not like, and the pretty rainbow over this person is now gone.
Right.
But that's something that becomes apparent beforehand when you are friends with this person, instead of just like getting into a serious relationship. And I feel like with you and Tanner, you guys had that honeymoon phase, but you also saw the real of this person really early.
Yep. Perfectly put. Yeah. And it's almost like a low risk way.
Yep.
Because it's like, well, this is just my homie.
You can
right now.
Like, you can come up with your conclusions and you can do your research on the back end.
And it's not like detrimental to this like new love. Like,
right.
You could do it silently almost and safely.
Yep.
What feels safe. There was definitely a big element of that, but also like the honeymoon phase is this kind of, I hate to call it La La Land because it's such a legit phase of a new relationship, but it's the rose colored lenses. It's like,
it's so pretty, wrapped up in a perfect little bow. You only see the good things in this person. And
it's like necessary though too.
Absolutely. It's when two people get into a relationship and they're almost, I don't want to say it's like forced, but there's this thing where you get into a relationship and you do all of the good things intentionally. Like mm-hmm. you want to lay it all out there in such a pretty way, but it does fog the realness. Yeah. And then once you get into like the nitty gritty of a relationship, and they say, I'm sure you've heard this too, like the 3, 6, 9.
The month thing.
Yeah,
the I was going to say, rule. Let's like break down that timeline.
So
what do you feel like it? What do you feel like it was for your relationship right now?
I would say probably about, so we got together in June, probably about 6 or 7 months okay. in, right at like December is when those walls kind of dropped and we were like, okay, this is who we really are. Not that we weren't who we were before, but we're laying 360. It. Yep. We're laying it all out there now, yeah. about 6 or 7 months in. And it really took like a conscious decision to, okay, these are things I might not love about you, but I'm going to accept them.
Like learn to work with them, learn to coexist yeah, with them.
Yeah, it's such a conscious decision to like mend your guys' lives together.
And I feel like that moment for a lot of people could be where they're not thinking, oh, I'm going to learn to accept them. They're thinking, oh shit, this isn't who I thought you were. We're not compatible, run.
Yep.
Which
it's so easy to just, because people thrive and feed off of that honeymoon feeling and they get into that second phase and they're like, wait, scared, back up, hold yeah. on. This isn't what I agreed to.
Right.
Now they're going to leave and seek that honeymoon phase again with someone else.
And then that's I feel like maybe the taxi cab theory can come into. Yeah. Like you're just,
I didn't think about
you're
that.
You're not ready to do the work and push through with that person for several reasons, your emotional availability, or they're actually just not your match.
Totally.
I think that honeymoon, oh, it's almost like the allergies fog.
Yes.
Like once that, you know,
once
burns
the Allegra
away,
kicks in,
once your allergy medicines kick in, then maybe it is a sign that you don't actually want to be with this person. And I think this is a good time to really evaluate, hey, do I want to take the time out of both of our lives, both of our hearts to push through this? And if it's not a whole yes, then I would leave that person. You're doing them right. a disservice by being like, yeah, let's just push through when you actually don't know if you want this in the end.
Totally. And right? it really is about being self-aware and having that open communication, because that was one thing that
knowing what you want.
Yes. And this is kind of a surface level example, but probably around that 6 month line of me and my boyfriend, when he really started to like stay over, he, I am the most cleanly,
organized routine girly.
Routine
She's a Virgo.
Girl.
If you yes. didn't know. If you couldn't tell by those three characters.
Right. But everything has a place and everything is in its place. And when you start to invite someone else into your life, that goes out the window.
Yeah.
And it really, oh, it's taken a lot for me to realize that people just, other people and even my loved ones around me just don't have the same standard that I do when it comes to being so uptight about your cleanliness.
I'm people. I'm one of those.
And you and many others, really, like my parents are the only ones that are, because I get it from
you,
them.
Yeah.
Yes. There was one morning where he came over and I have this like really nice dish with all of my jewelry in it. And he started like, it was after work. So he started like, he got his jacket off and he has this big ass lanyard with hella keys.
Like a janitor.
Literally. And he put his keys in his wallet in my jewelry dish.
Oh, he thought it was like a catch-all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which valid, okay. But I'm standing there like
you're nice jewelry.
Yeah. And it's a really nice glass. I call it my fish dish because it's shaped like a big flounder.
Yeah.
It's a really nice glass dish with all of my nice jewelry. And I'm standing there like,
we have to break up.
What? Literally. I'm like, okay. And
not
I even
want.
I even, you guys, this is going to sound crazy, but my overthinking does this to me. I'm like, is he supposed to be as clean as me? Like, maybe this isn't right because he just doesn't value the same things as me. And I'm sitting there like, okay, maybe this doesn't need to be a perfect match for us.
Yeah.
And I think he could tell that I was really bothered that he put his things in my really nice dish. And he was like, do you want me to move it? And I'm like, okay, look, I have everything in a perfect place.
I just need to talk
literally. I was like, yeah, I'm a little bothered by you doing that. And the next time he ended up coming over, I had emptied a drawer for him.
There you go.
So he now has a drawer in his space.
All your shit
in there. And the, like I said, this is a really surface level example, but like,
Yeah,
because this I could have spiraled.
Yes.
Especially for me.
And just whether you're a clean person or not, the part of a relationship where you start joining spaces.
Yeah.
It's telling.
And how I really clocked how he reacted, because there's a lot of people who would see my reaction to that and like literally think I'm crazy and just ignore it.
Yeah.
And next time he comes over, throws his shit in my dish again. But I've noticed from that point and other like experiences after that, if I and him the same, if we express something to each other, we acknowledge it. And we're both self-aware on our ends. We don't like press each other's buttons just because.
You like, understand it.
Yeah, we understand each other. And that's such a big part of coming out of the honeymoon phase when things would normally like start a fight. We know each other in the sense that like he's going to come over and he's now going to put his janitor keys. He's not a janitor, guys.
He's not.
Big ass lanyard of keys in his drawer because that's he knows where it goes. That's where it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's surface level at all. Like, especially in adult relationships. And if you think this is like a long, you know, generally adults are dating for long term. Again, generalizing here, but dating for long term, you do want to make sure your lifestyles merge. Yeah. And I feel like you said, like there could be a point where that could have just turned into a fight, but that's the difference of like wanting to be like, no, this needs to be only my way and we can't be compatible unless this is like,
right,
apples to apples. It's just knowing, okay, this is a part of their personality. I'm in their space, to be technical. Like, this isn't like a shared apartment yet.
Right.
Until it is, then maybe you get a bigger fish dish where he is allowed to do that, you know?
Yeah.
But until then, like, I think it's an element of respect. At least that's how I see it.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things where he realized, oh, this doesn't affect me where I put my fucking keys and wallet, but it clearly affects her.
So I'm not going to
why not compromise
feathers.
Right.
I could put it 2 inches over where it actually belongs.
Right. And it's really hard being single for so long and then dating a stinky boy.
Stinky boys. Yeah.
And he's a stinky, snotty boy.
Have you heard of boy air?
Yeah. Oh my God. I saw this TikTok and it did like a side by side of what it's like sleeping in your bed without a boy, and
yes,
it's so neat and like,
and you wake up and the bed's still like made tucked. It's just like your little corner that you slept.
Yes. And that's so true. And then look at my bed now.
No, I've noticed like even when he first started sleeping over, because like when I walked to the kitchen I can see into Alex's room.
Yeah.
I thought you were like taking off your duvet.
Yeah. He flails.
Does he flail while he's sleeping?
No, but we both, like, if he turns, then I have to turn. Shift. Yeah. So there's just a lot of shifting in the middle of the night, which I don't normally do when I sleep alone.
Yeah.
So you're a rock. Like a brick. I sleep
you
like
just,
a brick.
You just like shut down and then like power up in the morning.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's a lot mending lives together, especially on that sense. Like, I love just my clean space.
Yeah.
And he's a stinky boy.
Yeah.
But I love him. That's what matters.
Exactly. It's worth pushing through.
Yep.
I think something like that, if like you deep down didn't like him, right, it would have set you off.
Exactly.
Because you would have used it as like an outlet to be like, yep, this is not right. But
and that's how I put myself in check. Like the first few times we like came across these things, I would do my overthinking and I would sit there and be like, okay, is this actually make or break for our relationship?
Mm-hmm.
And no. It's not.
Literally not.
Because I would express it to him and I would say, look, I can't stand the way you do this. Can we talk about it? And he's like, oh yeah, sure.
I think that's a good kind of threshold for a lot of problem solving in relationships. God, even friendships, just people in your life, is like when you bring up something that you dislike or you want to set a boundary or something and the person shuts it down.
Gets defensive.
That's obviously a red flag, but there's even situations where they're like, oh yeah, for sure. And they seem so understanding, but then they don't change after that. That's when you really got to see it for what it is.
Yeah.
Generally. Again, we'll throw that in there. Generally, if people aren't respecting said boundary or
willing to compromise,
whatever, kind of right away, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to. Call it what you want. I do kind of boil it down to a respect thing. Like, they're clearly not respecting what you're trying to set the first time you say it. So why would they, if like, you shouldn't have to repeat yourself on something like that.
And then it's just going to hound you and you're going to feel like you're nagging. Yeah.
Been there. Starts crying. I feel like my recent relationship, like we were saying,
that was a one-off case.
Fucking chaotic and complicated. So I
that needs to be studied.
Yes, it does. If there's anybody doing a thesis on just
narcissistic,
let me know. I got a story for you. Or go listen to our breakup episode. It's, I think, the first episode of this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, if you're new here, you might want to listen to that so you can get some background.
We keep referencing Tanner. Tanner is Kristen's recent ex.
Yeah.
Just too much to get into right now.
Don't even ask. Anyway, so let's rewind a little bit more. My relationship before that, we were together for a little over like 5 years. And I'm thinking back to the honeymoon phase of that. Similar to you, he was a very clean guy, very orderly, his way, but it's his way or the highway. Again, at least with my ex, I'm not going to speak on his character now because I don't know him now.
Right.
But in my experience and what I maybe brought out of him, yes, it was very like, I mean, you remember, like, it was his
way. He was like me, like, he was very orderly.
Very, very orderly. Like, where's the Virgo in his chart? Don't know. I'm not messy, but I'm also like, I guess maybe I wouldn't put my keys in like a jewelry dish because I'm a girl and I would know that's like a nice jewelry dish.
Yeah.
But like, to that point, you know, I would maybe not put my shoes back where they should go in the closet. I would just be like where I took them off or something like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I do kind of remember that being the start of, oh, like,
you guys are different.
Something's wrong. Yeah. Like, yeah. Something kind of just set him off. And I also feel like a lot of our honeymoon phase was like before I even moved to LA. So a lot of the honeymoon phase was still, I mean, we weren't like official, but we were starting our relationship in a way. And it was a lot of talking every day. The constant.
It's when you just want to be so like physically close to them and talking 24/7.
Checking in and like constantly connecting, which is like so valid. It's a new connection. Totally. Of course, your brain is going to want to explore it as much as possible. But I feel like I started seeing it wither away around the time, like once I moved to LA, it was still fun. But I think it was once like we started having the sleepovers and whatnot. This is, I'm saying it out loud and it is. It's identical to what you're saying.
It's when it's tested the most because you're forced to like
literally coexist.
Literally coexist.
And I would stay there because at the time I was working a 9-to-5 and he was not. I would stay, wake up early in the morning, leave for the whole day, which was nice because then we were like,
you have your little
separating
space.
Yes. Yeah. And then come home in the evening and, you know, have dinner, watch a movie, do it all over again the next day. And I feel like around the like 10 months, that's crazy. I'm like, not, yeah. I'm literally saying your story already, but maybe you guys
it's
relate
common.
To around like the 10 month mark, we kind of started bickering and it was those type of arguments or bickers or whatever, where, I mean, granted I was young, but like, we should have been trying to push through them or whatever, but we were both very much hard heads. So we were like, yeah,
two Aries is crazy.
Yeah. I can't believe I did that for 5 years. We were butting heads so much. And then I think it was around like the 1 year mark, we actually broke up. Saying this out loud, like, this is that period where you do realize, okay, is this worth it or not?
Yep.
So we broke up and we like for a sec, I was like, okay, maybe that was just it. Like it was quick relationship, whatever. I mean, a year's very long.
You take all those little bickering bits and you're like, okay, this isn't going to work. It's always going to be like this.
Yes. Cause that's very much like our personalities too, of like, this isn't working. Restart.
Yeah.
Like run away. And we did. And I think we were broken up. Do you remember? I want to say it was like maybe like 3 months.
It was a very small amount of time.
Yeah, 3 months tops.
Did you guys talk during that time?
Here and there.
Okay.
And I remember thinking like, this feels wrong. Like and not the type of wrong that you usually feel after a breakup where you're just mourning the person. I was like, I felt it to my gut.
Yeah.
I was like, no, this,
like, you
this
didn't,
love is not
you
done.
You felt like you didn't give it the proper chance.
Absolutely. And I express that, we express that. And then as all LA love stories start again, we went and hiked Runyon. We went and hiked Runyon and then we got back together that day and stayed together for the next few years. But yeah, it was that kind of reevaluation of like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We just kind of blew up. That wasn't worth it. Let's try this again.
Yeah, you were tested, thought that the relationship would look like that always,
yep,
but didn't give it the proper chance that it deserved. And then you guys actually saw it through.
Yep. And I think that shows also the difference of like you right now, you're 28 going through this. You have a fully developed frontal lobe.
Right.
You can stop. And like you even said, the simple question of being like, is this make or break? Is this a battle worth choosing?
Right.
No. That very, what seems like an easy conscious decision for you to have.
It doesn't go through your head at 23.
I know a lot of people, that's like a big narrative, even on like fucking TikTok, the frontal lobe development, but it's so real.
It makes such a difference.
And if you're someone over 25, you agree, I know it. And if you're under 25, please like rest assured, things will start to click around 25. And it's so natural. Like it really was like a, huh.
That makes sense.
I guess I get that now. Like,
yeah.
You don't have a fully developed brain.
Right.
Like now in hindsight, I'm like, should we even date until 25? I feel like we shouldn't be allowed, like the things you're allowed to do at 18, they should push that to 25.
Yes.
Don't let like going and buying like a gun or some shit. Let me develop my brain first.
Yeah.
And then let me 100%. Go to the military.
Like 100%.
Kind of terrifying. But yeah.
That's another topic.
Yeah. That's enough. That's next episode. Could you imagine? No. I don't know. Yeah, so it looks a little different for where you're at maturity level.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to like saying that a lot. It's crazy. It still can kind of came around that 10-month mark.
It is that natural wave. But then you see the couples that have been together since like elementary school and they've been through everything together.
Every phase.
But I feel like those are the cases where they grow equally and they see each other's growth. They acknowledge it and they it is. I said this earlier, but it's a conscious decision to stick by your partner's side no matter what.
Don't people say that about like marriage? Like you choose every day and you choose that person.
Yeah. You wake up every day and you choose to love your partner.
I think that's so valid. And
yeah.
I feel like some people feel icky when they hear that because they're like, that's not how soul connections work. That's not how love works. And you're right. That's not how the base of a connection works. But when you come back to like the human experience and like needing to merge lives and coexist with someone,
it's reality.
You do kind of have to choose them and like remember that, you know, at the end of the day, in a perfect situation, you should always put yourself first. Yes. But you are choosing to join lives and hearts with this person. You should consider them in a lot of your
movement too. Yeah.
I'd hope. Okay. So that's kind of the gist of the honeymoon phase and that transitional period. Like even right now, what are you feeling is that difference? If you can put it in bullet points, like what is different now? What is better now? What does it feel like now?
It's just a whole lot of communication. It's the second, and which is, as you guys, if you've been a long time listener, you know that that's a struggle for me is to communicate my feelings and my emotions, but it really is. It's a lot of communication and it's a lot of self-awareness. Mm. If I am realizing that something's bugging me or something's bugging him, we talk about it immediately. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, and I know myself and he now knows me, it festers and it'll come out in other ways.
It's so normal.
Yeah. And it is that snowball effect for me. Like I fucking hold on to shit. And if something bugs me and I don't say it right then and there, I'm going to be in a pissy mood.
Yeah.
And then it's going to affect our whole day. And then it's going to cause an argument. And it's just the way my brain has always worked. But there's a comfort in knowing that he is also aware of how I am. It kind of like has an effect where it lets me drop it because I'm sitting there like, okay, he knows I'm bubbling right now. Yep. And he knows I'm bubbling over nothing.
Yeah.
He knows I'm sitting here festering. So like, let me just ride this out, drop it. Because I used to do this thing where I would hold on to something and then I would be afraid to let it go because I didn't want them to think that
it wasn't important.
Yes.
Yeah. 100%.
You want to stick your ground so that they realize, oh, this is real. I got to like take this. That was your way of trying to communicate.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't put it in words. You're like, they need to read my mind right now.
Yeah. And he says this to me a lot. He'll go, he'll like comfort my overthinking. And then he'll go, Alex, I can't read your mind.
Sometimes that's all it takes too. It's like that reminder.
100%. And we'll be sitting there and he'll be like, I'm not going to be able to read your mind. I can tell that you're sitting there festering, but I can't be the one to stop you from festering and fix every argument.
Yep.
And it's, I could like cry right now. It's really like beautiful and something that I've never had in any relationship because I mean, in my past long-term relationship, I would fester for weeks.
Yep.
I would sit there for weeks and I'd be like, why isn't he noticing that I'm mad?
And like on the other side, he probably did, but he was like, why isn't she's not going to say it? And like both sides are valid. I've been on that other side.
Yeah.
Where I've been like, okay, I can't read your mind. And if you're not going to communicate it, I can't constantly just submit to what you need.
Right.
You like that creates codependency.
Yeah.
Cause now I'm just walking on eggshells to make sure you're okay because I'm picking up on your
emotions,
your down mood.
But you're not saying it.
But if you don't say it, then I also like, I'm not your mom. I can't like baby you. It's a spectrum as most things are. Whatever side you're on, you don't want to blatantly ignore that this person's clearly showing like some passive aggression because that's clearly just not going to fucking do anything. But you don't want to fully lean into it and baby it because then that's enabling their passive aggression. It'll make them think it works.
Then, yeah.
Oh, this works. This will do.
Yeah.
I don't have to try and push through these icky emotions and learn how to communicate. I could
act mad and then he will do whatever it takes so that I'm not this mad anymore.
Yes.
Oh, it's a really, really ugly thing. It's a
tug and pull. And every situation's so different too.
Right. Yeah. But all the outcome always looks the same.
Yes.
It's so, at least for me, like no matter what I'm festering about, I'm just festering and it won't go away until he stops it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's ugly. And I'm definitely not proud of it, but it is that self-awareness where I'll be sitting there festering and then I'll be like, okay, Alex, what are you festering over?
Yep.
What are you actually mad about?
Do you feel like you've gotten better at letting it go?
100%. And I think it's a lot of it is because how he has sat me down and not enabled it and just
let me make it better.
Yeah. Quickly fixes it and like tiptoes around me because I 100% don't want that. It's the fact that he sits down and he's like, what's up?
Like literally just opens the conversation.
Yeah.
Cause sometimes for people who have a hard time communicating, that's all you need is that like
the open door,
that open door and that safe space to be like, relax the shoulders and just even spit out one word.
Yeah.
I'm just upset right now. Like,
yeah,
that's more than one word, but like even just acknowledging and not trying to play it like, burr, 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 I'm fine.
Yep.
It kind of helps to like, okay, you got a sec?
Yeah.
Can we talk about this?
There was one time recently where I was festering and I was in a shitty mood, but he had to go to work and we were kind of like texting about it. And it all boiled down to the fact that I just wanted him to like hug me in that moment.
Yeah.
And he was like,
right.
And he had responded and he was like, I will always comfort you, but you have to let me know what you need in that moment. You're giving me the cold shoulder. How am I supposed to know that you want a fucking hug?
Literally the opposite sign. Literally ever.
Yeah. And that's what I was doing. I was giving him the cold shoulder, being all pissy.
Yeah. Being all pissy.
And I was pissed because he left without giving me a hug.
Yeah.
But I never said, give me a fucking hug.
Yes.
We're actively working on it. And it really is the fact, like, I need to remind myself that he cannot read my mind.
Yeah.
No one can read my mind. I can't read anyone else's mind. I feel like that's the part of this phase. That's the big chunk of it.
Like, if you could wrap it in a bow.
Yeah.
Just thinking back on you're saying you're being pissy, but you actually wanted a hug. Like, that is the epitome of human behavior. Like when people are angry, it's because they're hurt.
Yeah.
But it looks like anger. It looks like this like fireball that you want to like stay away from. But that person's actually just fucking crying in the inside.
They just want a hug.
But they're like,
you can't expect your partner to know that.
No, never. Never expect your partner to know anything without the words coming out of your mouth.
I used to think that though. So don't be hard on yourself for being in that cycle, sure, because it's so fucking common. And
oh my God, yeah.
It's something, like I said, that you actively have to work on with yourself and with your partner.
Yep.
They're not going to read your mind, and you can't expect them to know what is going to get you out of your rut
if you never communicate it.
If you don't communicate it.
And that's a good thing to do as early in the relationship as possible too. Not saying there's, you know, only one open door where you can set these type of boundaries with your lover, but we've said this a lot too, like relationships with anybody, whether it's a new friend, a coworker, or a lover, or fuck, even a family member, like try to set this stuff as early as possible, because humans naturally do fall into a pattern with another human, like a dynamic pattern is what I'm trying to say. And again, those can always be rewritten. It's not that those are permanent the second you set them, but like as early as possible really eliminates that kind of like, oh, what's this switch up about? What the hell? Like, yeah, why are you nagging out of nowhere?
Why are you now setting boundaries when I've gotten away with this for so long?
Exactly. It's really important to do this as early as possible. And that's the beauty of, you know, new relationships and the things you learn from old relationships is like, okay, hey, I know that I didn't like this whole duration of my last relationship. I'm going to make sure I set this as soon as mm-hmm. possible. And
this is the
love
work,
authentically.
Right. And this is the work that you put in after the honeymoon phase that will be the tell all if this is worth fighting for.
Yeah.
You put in this work after all of the rose colored glasses come off. Mm-hmm. And if it's received and if it's respected and understood and you guys have this mutual like want to work on the relationship, that's when it's kind of like a tell all. Okay, this yeah. could work.
I hate putting things in checking boxes, but like that's kind of a perfect checklist.
Yeah.
If you are one of those people that needs that mentality, that's a perfect kind of streamline of like, okay, this is a really good foundation mm-hmm. of a sustainable relationship. Communicate, respect, acknowledge is a big one too.
Yes.
And back to what you said, like the power of just a hug too. Mm-hmm. Like that sounds like a freaking corny fortune cookie, but the power of just hugging it out is so real. And
like physically,
it's a nervous system yeah. thing. It just like calms you down. As we say a lot in this podcast, it does boil down to like patterns of when you were a child, when you are triggered by these certain behaviors that your lover might be doing that are like harmless in their intent, but it's triggering something of an old trauma of yours. Mm-hmm. It does put your body back into that fight or flight, that breakdown, kind of like freeze. I feel whether it's attacked or unsafe, we'll just put it in that big bow, generally kind of unsafe. That's why human connection is so important. That's why, like, even in my EMDR, like a lot of my nervous system calming down is the sides of the arms, certain tapping on certain points of the face. Like, it sounds woo-woo, but it's actually super sciencey. Like, mm-hmm. those are points within the body and whatnot. But that was always a really hard thing for me with Tanner because we were long distance. Mm. So any of you guys listening that are in long distance relationships, that's one of the hardest parts is those moments where it could have just been a hug and you can't have that for another 2 months or, yeah. you know, until then, whatever, next time you're going to see them.
Ugh.
And it's 9 times out of 10, that was the hardest part of that relationship because like, I'm not a physical person. I only am with my lover and that's all I wanted. And some like really hard stuff we were going through that I was going through as an individual, all I wanted was my person. Mm-hmm. And when you can't have that, like it, I feel like it does a lot to the love too. Cause then you start thinking like they're not capable of comforting me. And I would have points where I'm like, is something wrong in the relationship? And it's like, no, yes, there was, but like, let's go back to that moment when I was in it. I was like, no, we just like need to be near that. Each other right now.
Yeah. Sometimes the answer is really fucking simple.
Yes. Most of the time it is. The reason you're riled up in the first place is because you've overcomplicated it. Like step back, ask yourself if you're expecting this person to read your mind.
Right.
If the answer is yes,
they're not gonna.
So suck it up and communicate.
I think another thing to acknowledge is that your partner is not your old partner. Which is really hard to do. Yeah. I feel like it's easy to think of yourself in this cycle of, okay, now I'm out of this honeymoon phase with this person. Now I'm getting to know the nitty gritty. The toxic traits are able to come out now. And I feel like people naturally fall into the cycle of thinking that what someone once did to them is now what's going to happen to them with this new person. And it really is about giving the new person a fair shot at being themselves and their authentic way of being in a relationship. Because once you start attributing your old relationship's traits onto this new relationship, you're already setting them up for failure.
That's not fair to them.
No, not at all.
Yeah. There's that side of it. And then also it's so important that you know, and you genuinely believe, and your self-esteem is back to where it needs to be, that you are deserving of something that is no longer what your last partner was.
A healthy relationship.
Yeah. Or, I mean, for the people who have good breakups and, like, you know, can send off their last relationship with love, you can also, it's also really beautiful and amazing to take the good things you like from that relationship too.
Totally.
Knowing that you were deserving in the first place. But yeah, I feel like that's a big part of getting into new relationship is treating them as it's a fresh slate, but also knowing that you're deserving of this healthy thing. And that's like a very common thing I know people experience is when you come from what could have been a traumatic past relationship and you have your first healthy one, it's really hard to settle in because you're like second guessing. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of like, wait, is this really this good?
Is this too good to be true?
Yes. That, cause you always hear if it's too good to be true, then it is. That kind of applies to mostly like car buying, right? And like Airbnbs.
Right.
But like love, I would like to believe, is not going to be on your lap if it's not meant for you.
And give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
When it comes to getting into new, at least I like to, that's a good practice for me.
I like that too, but it goes with that. Like we were saying a while ago, like
still protect yourself.
Give them the benefit of the doubt, communicate your needs. But if they're going to disrespect them time and time again, the benefit of the doubt is gone.
Is, yeah. You
now they,
you only
they
give benefit of the doubt one time.
Yeah. Like, let people show their true colors and they,
yeah,
will.
And they will.
It's those rose colored lenses though. They fucking get you and they're fun while you're in it. And I think they also teach you how to have fun with this new partner. And,
yeah,
and you know, it kind of builds a foundation of like, maybe when you are down the line in your relationship and you're feeling a lull, go back to chapter one. And what were those things you used to have a lot of fun doing and do them again and, you know, re-spark. I feel like there it's a foundational tool to refer back to.
I'm glad you brought this up because I was talking to my boyfriend about us doing this episode and we were talking about the honeymoon phase in general. And he was like, I feel like I'm still in the honeymoon phase with you.
Yeah.
And we started talking about how we brought aspects of the honeymoon phase into this real phase that we're in now.
Yeah.
And it's like how every time he walks through the door, I literally jump on him because I'm so excited to see him. Right. And things like that, that we still practice in this phase of our relationship so that we are actively telling each other that we still love each other.
Yep.
We're still showing each other our love languages and
we're still choosing each other.
We're still choosing each other, but not in just the, okay, I'm going to wake up every day and just kind of go through this cycle with you. Like, yeah, we're keeping our priorities top of line. Like, one of our priorities has always been to have a date night. And it's something that we do every week. And it's something that we both look forward to so much. And it really keeps the honeymoon phase alive and well. Because yep, once you're out of the honeymoon phase, you don't want all of that to go away. Like, that's the fun part.
It's not that polarizing. It shouldn't be, at least.
No, exactly.
Yeah. It's a honeymoon part two.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I guess that's a good thing to say. Because if you are someone in a new relationship, we're not trying to scare you. That no.
It doesn't just get ugly after the honeymoon phase.
No, I feel like maybe we should have started with that point. But, yeah, it's just certain aspects get a little more real, as we've been saying this whole episode. But it's It's all part of it. It's all part of the love. And that's why we wanted to do this episode. There's ways to make it a good thing and learn from it and not let it crumble you guys.
Right.
If that makes sense.
It's just knowing when and how to work on it and if it's worth it or not, which is, it's hard. It's a hard task to do. It's the hardest phase in a relationship, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. I hear marriage could be hard too. Do you ever think about that?
Yeah.
I wonder. I'm literally single. Like, I got that. No, the other day, guys, my sister was at my grandpa's and he gave her my grandma's wedding dress, which is like so crazy. Monica brought it home and FaceTimed me and she's like, look at it. Like, we could both totally like wear this. Like, it could fit us. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, what if I wore that on my wedding day? And we kind of looked at each other. I was like, you know what? Because she's in a relationship right now. I was like, you could take it. I don't even have anybody like, what? Why am I already thinking of that? But
it's fun to dream.
I'm super single.
I'm so single. I think you're in such a fun.
I'm chilling.
Yeah, you're chilling.
No,
you're
chilling. There are phases of single where it's like I, last time I was single, I remember thinking like, wait, I kind of want a boyfriend right now. Like you kind of start getting into that. Like,
it's so fun.
Not there though.
No,
I'm very excited for you to be solo there. Dolo. Me too. And I'm like, I know it very well.
Yeah.
I know I will have it again, but being this comfortable and being single is something I actually haven't had in a very long time.
Decades.
Literally 20 or 29 shit. But yeah, very long time.
Yeah.
And it's cool. Even like talking about topics like this, like I thought it would be hard for me to do, but like, I mean, I've been in relationships like I know what it feels like. I'm in the honeymoon phase with myself.
Yeah. What's that quote from Ariana? Start seeing this new girl. Her name is Ari.
Oh, yeah.
How does it go? We're fake fans.
No, we're not. Don't say that.
I met this new girl. Her name is Ari.
Yeah. Why can't
I can't get like the, can't,
the melody.
Yeah.
I met someone else and we're having a better discussion. They say I'll move on to this one go last because her name is Ari.
Yep.
And I'm so good with that.
Yep.
She taught me love. She taught me patience.
Oh, you're in your thank you next era.
I just want Pete Davidson.
No, you don't.
What?
No.
I don't.
He is so toxic.
I don't want him.
No. I said this to you before.
I know.
His track record, Kristen.
I know, it's super bad.
Him and Tanner would be best friends. They would be best friends.
Him and Tanner would get along so well. He's just so cute.
You want the potential of Pete Davidson.
Yeah, literally in my head.
You think you could fix him.
You fell in love with a person who's no longer. I'm 2 blocks away. I'm coming over. It's not about Pete.
Yeah, probably. But
Gucci tennis shoes, running from your issues. Cardio good for the heart.
Oh, such literally. A good
song. I was talking to my, I do Orange Theory.
Yeah, which gym did you go to last night?
My Orange Theory.
Okay.
They have late classes. The trainer was playing Break Up With Your Boyfriend.
Oh, so good.
And he, like, they come over the mic a lot. And he was like, okay, I'm going to say something controversial. I'm like mid plank. I dropped to my belly. I was like, I looked at him. He's like, Ari fan? I was like, I mean, yeah, but like, what are you about to say?
Yeah.
And he was like, honestly, her like bad girl music that like Break Up With Your Boyfriend type shit will never be the same because she's just like so not that artist anymore.
Yeah.
And I never thought of it. Like now, even when I listen to that shit, I'm like, this isn't her. Like she's not that like, and I'm not talking shit on her. Like she's not like that badass.
She's
like,
she's not in the phase that you're in after a breakup where you just want to like hype
like
up.
She's like wicked. She's a little fairy now. And like, I love her new aesthetic. Don't get me wrong. Her fucking Eternal Sunshine is amazing. No Skipper. I'm still listening to it daily. She's so different now.
I think that's why I haven't really related to either Positions or Eternal Sunshine because I became her big fan with Sweetener and Thank You Next.
Yeah.
And that's when she was going through her biggest heartbreak. And so was I.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, I am Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
And then she started to heal. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I think we're on different paths.
Why is she healing?
Exactly.
or the TikTok of Chance.
Who's Chance?
Was it Chance the rapper?
Oh.
He's going through a divorce right now. And Alex and I saw this TikTok of this guy who's like, oh no, he's going through a divorce. I hope he doesn't drop acid with his friends and write another album. Oh no.
Oh no, maybe he'll try acid again.
I fucking hope.
Ooh, I hope we get Old Chance back.
Oh, I freaking imagine. Hope. Could you imagine? And like the festival, like the festival chance.
Maybe we won't get any church albums anymore.
Did he drop a church album?
He was, yeah, he was dropping.
I know he's doing like some gospel.
He was dropping gospel for a minute.
Not my cup of tea, but no, we have acid rap.
I don't want it from Chance.
No.
You know?
Mm-mm.
I want acid rap from Chance. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh. Speaking of gospel.
Speaking of acid.
Yeah, which way do you want to go? You guys know Gavin DeGraw? We just like rediscovered him. Of course we all do, but like when's the last time you listen to him, right? And we were listening to Chariot. Oh, Chariot, you're golden. And we were listening to it kind of in silence. Alex and I were both working the other day and I paused it. I was like, is this gospel? 100%. So we search it and he had this whole like 30-minute interview talking about this like spiritual awakening he had and when he wrote this song. We were like, oh, it's kind of slaps. Like,
and then we listened to the song again.
Oh, yeah. And what's the other one? Not Over You. Dreams, that's where I had to go to see your beautiful face.
He's anymore. So good.
Oh my God.
Did you see the guy from Nickelback cut his hair?
What length?
Sure. He said it was an accident.
Just don't admit that part of it.
He said he went to go get his hair cut, and I don't know if it was like a new person or whatever, but they went like an awkward length. He's like, okay, now you have to cut it all the way. Look at this TikTok I saw.
He damn near went to Supercuts.
100%.
No, like his like little cuz did it. Is it like spiky?
It's just, he doesn't look, it's actually crazy. Now I want to show you because he doesn't look, I would never think it's him.
Oh, wow.
His hair makes it him.
Was, yeah, very iconic for him. I couldn't tell you his name, but big fan.
Yeah, I don't know his name either. Maybe it's Nick.
Nicole.
Nicole. That's crazy,
he
right?
He looks so different.
Like, I want some curly ramen hair.
And I want, like, blonde. Like, he was so blonde.
Yeah.
Huh. He looks good, crazy. Though. He looks, like, happy and healthy.
I'm a big Nickelback fan.
Yeah, I don't know why they get so much hate. I think...
Yeah.
You know, it's similar to mayonnaise. When people hate on mayonnaise, but I think we all...
You're a real true fan.
I love mayonnaise, and I'll be the first to admit it. By the spoonful. I'll do it.
Yeah. I love mayonnaise.
I love mayo, and I think people hate on it as like a trend, almost like the word moist.
Yeah.
I think people say they don't like it out of a trend. How could you be so bothered by
a word?
A word.
Or a condiment that's really fucking good.
Yeah, I think it's just you're bandwagoning, and I'll be the first to call you out. Unless if you're part of the mayo hate moist community, comment down below. I'd love to talk to you.
Yeah,
love
let to pick us your know brain. Why.
Where did it stem from?
Where does the hate grow inside of you?
Yeah, I want like day one story because if you don't have it, that means you probably just hopped on the train with everybody else.
Like, is it because you don't like the taste or the texture, which is crazy because they're both great.
It can't be texture because it's a sauce. Right. A lot of things have that texture. Do you also hate everything?
It's like a little jello-y.
Well, bad mayonnaise. It should be creamy, velvety.
Right. Ooh, I want some mayonnaise.
I'm going to have a cup right now. Well, guys, we got to go. We're going to have some morning mayonnaise. Just kidding. Best Foods is the best, though. And they don't have that out here in the East Coast. It's Hellman's.
Isn't it the same brand?
Yeah. But like,
why?
I like the words Best Foods.
Yeah. It makes me feel something.
It's confident. It's like, anyway, it doesn't matter.
It's the honeymoon phase.
It's the honeymoon phase.
We're in the honeymoon phase with our mayonnaise jar.
I've never left it. No. I am forever in the honeymoon phase. The mayo phase, if you will. All right, you guys, it's time. You actually want to know something? I actually forgot. I told we have to go because I forgot. I told Liza we'd get breakfast this morning. She's in New York, and I was like, "Yeah, we'll get breakfast Friday morning." Fuck. So I gotta go.
Running late.
Yeah, running really late right now.
If you guys don't know, we have a Patreon where every Friday we do an extra episode for you guys. And sometimes it has to do with a Monday episode. A lot of the times we just do like a general advice episode. So if you want, follow us there and write in so we can answer your questions or give you advice or let you know good mayonnaise sandwiches.
That too. Go to patreon.com/advicepodcast. We have 3 tiers. You could go check out whatever one you want, but you get 4 extra episodes a month. We do Zoom calls with the hella tier. A few other things, but yeah, the general advice column, you would just message us on the Patreon app. Mm-hmm. And as always, let us know if you want to be anonymous or not. Also, if you're listening on Apple Music or Spotify, wherever you're listening, please rate us 5 stars. 5 stars only. Anything less, we don't want it. Thank you so much. And if you're on YouTube, make sure you subscribe and turn on your notifications and comment down below if you're one of those mayo haters. Because like I said, I just want to pick your brain. I just got a few questions.
Yeah.
So yeah.
We need to weed you guys out.
Yeah. Just kidding. If you hate mayo, unsubscribe. Thank you. Which is, we see it drop. No. Wait, I know we usually, before we go, we don't usually like talk numbers at all, but I do want to say we're almost at 30,000 on YouTube.
Did you see their username Short Lane? I think their name is just Lane.
Yeah.
They said road to 30K.
Road to 30K. I was like, that's how I noticed too. I was like, oh, because we genuinely don't look at that shit. Yeah. But once I saw that comment, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So yeah, so subscribe. If you listen and you're not subscribed, just hit the button. It helps us out a lot, pushes us a lot. And yeah, really, really cool. So thank you guys for listening. Have an amazing week. And
we will
talk to you next Monday.
Thank you, Dear Media.
Thank you, Dear Media. Love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.